At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis. RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off. Subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.
Off the ball breakfast.
Yeah, I'm mixing up Donostia and San Sebastian. Maybe I am.
This is like a slow bicycle race of shit teams to glory.
Jesus. Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
We've plenty to talk about with Munster in a while, but we should start with the decision for the RFU to drop the men's programme in the sevens. What was your reaction to it, and do you think it was the right decision?
I was surprised, but I'd heard rumblings of it happening, and this starts with World Rugby, because they would obviously spend a fair bit with all the unions and give them kind of money towards the seventh circuit. It's very disappointing. I think I wasn't a sevens player myself. I didn't play sevens. I loved watching it, but ultimately, it's like any business. It's down to the financial return and budgetary situation, and it's not making money and doesn't make money for the union. And I think what they spent last year was 4.2 million, albeit it's an Olympic year. But your heart would go out to all the guys who invested so much time and energy. They're not making money out of it. They're getting by, and they can survive on the contracts. You know, I think they're average around 18 to 20 grand a year. Some of them maybe up on 30, but that's kind of the limit. So you're not making money out of this. They're doing something they love. So it's very difficult, and I feel for a lot of them, and I, you know, particularly some of the ones that retired as well, because it's a bit of a dagger in the heart to them for the time they put in. But they were very lucky in a sense; they got that great run in the World Series, and Ireland were, you know, Olympic hopefuls last year, and very close to, you know, if things were a little bit different, they could have been up on the podium. So yeah, it's difficult, but. Always think of the business model as well, you know, it's whether it's right or wrong, you know, it's not making money. And I think this was started by World Rugby, and it kind of gives a bit of nervousness with all the unions. Then they reduced the series from 12 teams to 8, making some changes around that, reducing the whole, you know, amount of games in the series and stuff like that. So Those changes have spooked some of the unions, and I don't think the RFU are the only ones who are going to do this. I think there's a lot of emotion involved in this.
Naturally,
for people who love it. There's a lot of anger, but you have to be realistic as well. You know, no matter what I say here, people are going to construe it in a different way than I'm on one side or the other. I really feel for the players, but I can't go and say, you know, this is a disgraceful decision and the RFU should continue to do it, because, you know, does it jeopardize some other part of you know, where the money comes from and the return that you get? And look, if you're a sevens player, it's very, we rightly so feel very hard done by compared to the way the 15s game. But ultimately, the 15s game is what drives money and gives a return. And you could argue then, and I listened to Harry McNulty speaking about that, well, why leave the women's game then, and why say that that's a player pathway? Was the sevens men's not a player's pathway? So there's arguments right the way through, and was it a political decision? Look, if the reality is, if the women's sevens program was disbanded as well, I think there'd be more uproar over it, and it could be different. But there is a difference. The women's game is the 15s where we are in the last year or two, it's only, you know, creeping up to where, well, we've seen the results from last November, Six Nations, the results this year, being able to compete with teams, the excitement about where this team is possibly going, qualifying for the World Cup. So the 15s women's team is still developing, and we've only seen a recent positive upward trend in that. So, and we've seen a number of the sevens players be so beneficial to that 15s surge. So that's probably where the foundation for that argument is coming.
At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis. RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off. Subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.
This week on Diverted.
¿Te gusta Mayaluna?
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina es esencial para comer media luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club. And we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato.
¿Anduviste en otro lado filmando pato ya o no?
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Delighted to have our favourite League of Ireland duo, Owen Heary and Barry Murphy, in studio with myself and Keith. How are you, lads? You well?
Yeah, not bad.
A loyal commenter has pointed out on YouTube, MG, and it's a damning indictment of where this competition lies. He goes, Keith, FA Cup final preview, double question mark. I haven't mentioned it once, but Crystal Palace play Manchester City tomorrow in the FA Cup final at 4:30 at Wembley. There'll be no Premier League football tomorrow, so it's all happening tonight. Two games tonight and the rest on Sunday. So at least that's happened, because remember when Wigan won it in 2013, there was Premier League games that very day, so people weren't even watching it properly. So at least they've given it the day, but it doesn't really feel like much of an occasion.
To be fair though, Pep has talked it down himself, saying that the City players aren't really up for it.
It's big for Palace though, isn't it?
It's huge for Palace, but I think the reason it's probably gone under the radar a little bit is that Manchester City aren't really treating it as a huge final. They've come out and said even if we win it, it's a poor season by our standards. So I'd love to see Palace do it. I think most neutrals would like to see Palace do it, just given the financial backing that Manchester City have.
Why do you think that is, on the FA Cup final?
I just listened to Keith's commentary saying that Pep playing it down, but I guarantee the players aren't thinking that way. They're thinking for the medal in the pocket. Like, you know, poor season overall, but to come away with an FA Cup medal is not a bad return for them, considering they were getting beaten week in, week out, week in, week out. But for Palace, this is a massive, massive game for Palace. You know, and I actually think, looking at it on paper, you'd say City would have a better team, but I think Palace are more determined about going and winning this. Like, you know, the Sarr and the Eze and Matata up front, which they caused teams some serious problems. And you've seen them in the semi-final, how good they were.
That against Aston Villa,
they destroyed them. And you would have expected Villa to be going into the final, like, you know, considering the season they had. But Palace was saying to turn it on and just get results constantly. Like, you know, and they're an exciting team to watch, not like the Palace of old. But they're exciting to watch. And it's actually, as you say, it's a standalone game tomorrow, and I'm interested in watching it, to be honest, because it'd be an interesting point. It's not the two top teams going at it again.
Yeah, for Palace, it's probably some of the players' pinnacle of their career.
Huge.
It's going to be the FA Cup final. So you talk about Pep playing it down, and the players are thinking, this is, of all the finals at this time of the year, this is the one we probably didn't see ourselves in or taking seriously. But again, as someone said, it's a medal in the pocket. One-off game. You've got to go out and perform. But she said, there's no build-up this week at all, and the FA Cup's evolved. You know, I remember as a kid, the build-up to it all week.
They 9 in the morning on Saturday,
yeah,
BBC.
Watching the buses going through, like the crowds and everything. Yeah. You're probably not going to get that tomorrow, so... As an association, they've probably downplayed it as well. So they're probably going to have to look at what way they market this competition going forward, if it's going to be downgraded the way it is at the moment. Like,
we've so much to get through here, because we've a full fixture list in the League of Ireland tonight. We have those two Premier League games that I mentioned. We have Stephen Kenny's comments from during the week. We have Tim Clancy leaving Cork City. But I might get your opinion, as we talked about at the start of the show, myself, Keith and Dara, the aligned football calendar. That was the clip we played there in the break when Owen and Nathan were joined by callers from across the country. About it, and I don't know what your opinion of it, because I was firmly on the line of aligning the calendar, play more football in the summertime, kids aren't getting enough football at their feet. They have to improve. That's the only way they're going to improve. But a lot of people made some reasonable arguments last night that certainly the parents and the coaches are just not around in the summer. It's not as easy to do it. And other people don't want it. They want the, for the mental health aspect, they want to continue playing in the winter time. I don't know, Barry, what you think of how we should do this and how we should go about it.
There's going to be a million reasons why not to do it. And that's the problem. You've got, like, you nearly have to get everyone who's dissent and against it into the Aviva for a conclave and just sort this out, because it's rattling on year. Everybody's got opinions, but you've just got to go and do it now. It's worked. It's worked in the Mayo Leagues. Like, you've got evidence that it's worked at that level. So you've got to spread it out. And it does come to a point, though, where you go, you've got to choose a route that you're going down. If you're in school and you're not doing French and Spanish at the same time, you're picking a subject. So there's got to become a point where you go, this is where I want to go forward. I want to go and be a footballer. I want to go and play GA. But at this stage of things, you've got to let them play as many sports as you can. And you've got to work around that. So I think you've got to align it.
Yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons to it. As you said, having the two leagues on the coincide is obviously the big plus of it. But you have to look at parents' point of view as well. Like, their kids are off in the summer. Is the one child that's playing the sport, the other children, are you thinking, well, I have to bring them away on the holidays because they're off during the year? And then you take that young fella away from the football. He's going away. He's missing games. His coach has turned up and saying, I don't have players this week because three or four of them are gone away. So we're cancelling games, cancelling matches. So there's a lot of stuff that you have to consider into it. You say the summer was for a League of Ireland. That's where we went because the pitches are better, which makes more sense for the kids to play more football. The games aren't called off as much unless the players are away. Winter football, pitches aren't great for them to play in. But what do you do in the winter, the kids? They're sitting at home. They're in their room playing the PlayStation, things like that. How do you get them out? How do you keep them involved in sports? So, look, this is for the powers that be that want to decide what way to do this. Do they move the League of Ireland back to the winter, or do they move the kids' football into the summer?
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.
Last night on Off The Ball, there was this.
Kids and adults are going to have to choose between one sport and another. They're not going to be able to play everything. And it's going to drive people insane.
And this.
Just turned to shooting. Fella's knee just hit me like a dead leg on my femur, like my femur snapped. I certainly missed the Euros, which were a month later. I was devastated at that. But I remember the national anthem was sitting at home in tears, you know.